Welcome to Zikhu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Ches, the ninth parak HaMakabel. This parak has been generously sponsored in Nishmas, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe ben Rabbi Yamin Yosef Alav Shalom. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav said that if one purchases land which was available to anyone willing to pay the government tax on it, and the land is located between properties owned by partners or brothers, he's an impudent person for not allowing them to purchase it, but we do not remove him from the purchased land. Rav Nachman said, we do remove him, but if the claim against him is only that of a bar mitzvah, adjoining property owner who wants to purchase it himself and have two properties side by side, we do not remove the purchaser. However, the Nardin said that we even remove the purchaser because of a bar mitzvah, because the Torah says, Vasisa Yosha Vato Be'enei Hashem, you shall do what is just and good in the eyes of Hashem. The Gemara then says, if the potential purchaser obtains permission from the adjoining property owner to buy the field, Ravina says, Lotzarik L'miknemine, he does not need to legally acquire the right from him to buy the property because the permission granted is legally binding. The Nardin say the buyer must make a kinyan to render the bar mitzvah's permission binding. Point number two, the Gemara lists several cases in which the bar mitzvah has no claim. A property given as a gift is not subject to the law of bar mitzvah, but if he guarantees the gift, meaning he commits to compensate the recipient if it's collected by his creditor, it must actually be a sale and is subject to dinah de bar mitzvah. If one sold all his properties to one person, the sale is not subject to dinah de bar mitzvah because the purchaser might not agree to buy the rest of his properties if one is absent and the seller is not obligated to sustain a loss for the bar mitzvah's benefit. If one purchases land from an idolater, the purchase is not subject to dinah de bar mitzvah because he can tell the neighbor, Ari avrichi lach mimetzvah, I chased a lion away from your border and there's no greater just and good than that. If one sold a property to an idolater, it's not subject to dinah de bar mitzvah because akum vaday la bar vasisa yashava tovu. An idolater is certainly not subject to the directive of you shall do what is just and good. However, we excommunicate the seller until he commits to compensate the neighbor for any losses resulting from the Gentile buyer. And point number three, the Gemara says that if one has the option of selling his field either to neighbors in a city or neighbors of a field he owns, and no one is a bar mitzvah, Shechina Ha'ir Kodmi, the neighbors of a city take precedence, and it's proper for him to sell to them. Shachin v'Talmud Chacham, if his choice is between selling to a neighbor and a Talmud Chacham Kodim, the Talmud Chacham takes precedence. Karav v'Talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham Kodim, if his choice is between a relative and a Talmud Chacham takes precedence. The Gemara asks, Shachin v'Karav Mai, if his choice is between a neighbor and a relative, what should he do? It answers, based on a pasuk, Tov Shachin Karov Me'ach Rachuk, a good neighbor is better than a distant brother, so the neighbor takes precedence. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav said that if one purchases land, which was available to anyone willing to pay the government tax on it, and the land is located between properties owned by partners or brothers, he's an impudent person for not allowing them to purchase it, but we do not remove him from the purchased land. Rav Nachman said, we do remove him, but if the claim against him is only that of a bar mitzvah, adjoining property owner who wants to purchase it himself and have two properties side by side, we do not remove the purchaser. However, the Nardin said that we even remove the purchaser because of a bar mitzvah, because the Torah says, Vasisa Yosha Vato Be'enei Hashem, you shall do what is just and good in the eyes of Hashem. The Gemara then says, if the potential purchaser obtains permission from the adjoining property owner to buy the field, Ravina says, Lotzarik L'miknemine, he does not need to legally acquire the right from him to buy the property because the permission granted is legally binding. The Nardin say the buyer must make a kinyan to render the bar mitzvah's permission binding. Point number two, the Gemara lists several cases in which the bar mitzvah has no claim. A property given as a gift is not subject to the law of bar mitzvah, but if he guarantees the gift, meaning he commits to compensate the recipient if it's collected by his creditor, it must actually be a sale and is subject to dinah de bar mitzvah. If one sold all his properties to one person, the sale is not subject to dinah de bar mitzvah because the purchaser might not agree to buy the rest of his properties if one is absent and the seller is not obligated to sustain a loss for the bar mitzvah's benefit. If one purchases land from an idolater, the purchase is not subject to dinah de bar mitzvah because he can tell the neighbor, Ari avrichi lach mimetzvah, I chased a lion away from your border and there's no greater just and good than that. If one sold a property to an idolater, it's not subject to dinah de bar mitzvah because akum vaday la bar vasisa yashava tovu. An idolater is certainly not subject to the directive of you shall do what is just and good. However, we excommunicate the seller until he commits to compensate the neighbor for any losses resulting from the Gentile buyer. And point number three, the Gemara says that if one has the option of selling his field either to neighbors in a city or neighbors of a field he owns, and no one is a bar mitzvah, Shechina Ha'ir Kodmi, the neighbors of a city take precedence, and it's proper for him to sell to them. Shachin v'Talmud Chacham, if his choice is between selling to a neighbor and a Talmud Chacham Kodim, the Talmud Chacham takes precedence. Karav b'talmud chacham, talmud chacham kodem. If his choice is between a relative and a talmud chacham, the talmud chacham takes precedence. The Gemara asks, shachin v'karav mai. If his choice is between a neighbor and a relative, what should he do? It answers, based on a pasuk, tov shachin karov me'ach rachuk. A good neighbor is better than a distant brother, so the neighbor takes precedence. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Kuf Ches, and this one was suggested to us by Mordechai Slovin from Ramat Beit Shemesh and by Nathaniel Jacob from Great Neck, New York. They both suggested that Kuf Ches is a pickpocket, kach, a pickpocket. So here goes. The pickpocket who did not do what was just and good in the eyes of Hashem, when he used the money he pickpocketed to purchase a field that a bar mitzvah wanted to purchase, after the bar mitzvah couldn't stop his neighbor on the other side from giving away his field as a gift, stole a piece of paper from the pocket of the gift recipient, which indicated he planned to sell the field to a talmid chacham before selling it to a relative. Once again, it's a motion. The pickpocket, that must be more daf kuf ches, kach, take. The pickpocket who did not do what was just and good in the eyes of Hashem, when he used the money he pickpocketed to purchase a field that a bar mitzvah wanted to purchase, which reminds us, Rav said, that if one purchases land which was available to anyone willing to pay the government tax on it, and the land is located between properties owned by partners or brothers, he's an impudent person for not allowing them to purchase it, but we do not remove him from the purchased land. However, the Nardin said that we even remove the purchaser because of a bar mitzvah, because the Torah says, Va'asisa yashar v'tobe eine Hashem, you shall do what is just and good in the eyes of Hashem. So the pickpocket who did not do what was just and good in the eyes of Hashem, when he used the money he pickpocketed to purchase a field that a bar mitzvah wanted to purchase, after the bar mitzvah couldn't stop the neighbor on the other side from giving away his field as a gift, which reminds us, the Gemara lists several cases in which the bar mitzvah has no claim. A property given as a gift is not subject to the law of bar mitzvah. So the pickpocket who did not do what was just and good in the eyes of Hashem, when he used the money he pickpocketed to purchase a field that a bar mitzvah wanted to purchase, after the bar mitzvah couldn't stop his neighbor on the other side from giving away his field as a gift, stole a piece of paper from the pocket of the gift recipient, which indicated he planned to sell the field to a talmid chacham before selling it to a relative. Which reminds us, Gemara says, if one has the option of selling his field either to a talmid chacham or to a karuv, a relative, the talmid chacham takes precedence. So once again, the pickpocket who did not do what was just and good in the eyes of Hashem, when he used the money he pickpocketed to purchase a field that a bar mitzvah wanted to purchase, after the bar mitzvah couldn't stop his neighbor on the other side from giving away his field as a gift, stole a piece of paper from the pocket of the gift recipient, which indicated he planned to sell the field to a talmid chacham before selling it to a relative. All right, so now it's time for four blah bach hazara. Daf kuf dalad. So the siman daf kuf dalad is code. So here goes. The renter who used the code, that must be more daf kuf dalad. The renter who used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if a tenant said, lease me beis ha-shlachin zeh, this irrigated field, he may deduct from the rent if the stream dried up. The Gemara asked that the landowner should be able to say, Shema ba'ama amri lach, I only said it to you as a name, meaning that he called it an irrigated field simply because it was commonly referred to that way, but not as a stipulated term for the rental. Shmuel answered that the Mishnah's cases where the tenant spoke to the owner, so the request for an irrigated field is to be taken literally. Ravina gave a different answer. So the renter used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, and promised the owner that if he leaves the field fallow, he'll pay him an exaggerated amount of 1,000 zuz, which reminds us, the Gemara records an incident in which a tenant said, if I leave your field fallow, I'll pay you 1,000 zuz, and he left one-third of it fallow. The Nardin said he must pay a third of this amount, but Rava said, this is an asmakta, a commitment made without expecting to keep it, which is not binding. In this case, because he committed to an extraordinary penalty, guzma ba'amahu to kagazim, he's merely exaggerating. So the renter used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, and promised the owner that if he leaves the field fallow, he'll pay him an exaggerated amount of 1,000 zuz, was renting the field with iska money he received from an investor, which was half loan, half deposit, which reminds us, the Nardin said, hi iska, the merchandise of an iska business arrangement, where one partner provides the capital and the other manages the investment, is considered half a loan and half a deposit, so any losses are divided evenly, which the rabbis instituted as agreeable to both parties. They concluded that since half is a loan, if the manager wishes to drink beer by selling his half of the merchandise instead of investing it, he may. Rava disagrees. This is the reason they call it an iska, literally an involvement, so the investor can tell the manager, when I gave it to you, it was to be involved with it for the investment and not to drink beer with its proceeds. Daf kuf hei. So the siman daf kuf hei is a hacker. So here goes. The hacker, that must be more on daf Kuf Hey. The hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day. And finally, weed the field, which reminds us, the next mission states that one who leased a field with a fixed rental, but did not want to weed it while the crop was growing, telling the owner he'll get the same rental amount anyway, ain't showing glow. We do not listen to him because the owner can respond, tomorrow you're going to leave after the lease ends, Malus Lefana Yasavim, and the field will grow weeds for me instead of crops. So the hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day and finally weed the field had a strange practice wearing his less than 4-cup lightweight laptop on his head above his tefillin, which reminds us, the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai said, L'tefil u'tefillin arba kabin. For prayer and tefillin, the definition of a burden is 4 kabin. Regarding tefillin, a brisa teaches that if one was carrying a burden on his head while wearing tefillin, then if they're being crushed, he must remove the burden. But if not, it's permitted. This burden is defined as 4 kabin. So the hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day and finally weed his field had a strange practice of wearing his less than 4-cup lightweight laptop on his head above his tefillin and insisted that he has the right to deduct the damage to the field caused by a windstorm from his rent because it was a Malkus Medina, which reminds us, the Mishnah states that if one leased a field for a fixed rental and the crop was destroyed by locusts or powerful winds, Malkus Medina, if it's a general calamity, Menachelo min Chakoro, he may deduct from his rental according to the scale of damage. If the damage was local, he could not deduct from his rent because the owner can blame the damage on the tenants. Bad fortune. Daf Kuf Vav. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Vav is a tightrope walker. So here goes. The tightrope walker. Tightrope walker? That must be one Daf Kuf Vav. The tightrope walker looking down at his crop ruined by a wind and rebuking his tenant with a pussek for planting barley instead of the wheat he had told him to plant, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses a landowner who told his tenant to plant wheat, but he planted barley and his crop was destroyed by wind along with most of the valley. Although the tenant can argue that the Malkus Medina would have destroyed any wheat he may have planted, the Gemara concludes that the owner can respond, if you had planted wheat, the following bracha would have been fulfilled for me. You will make a plan and it will succeed for you, meaning my prayers for a successful wheat crop would have been answered. So the tightrope walker, looking down at his crop ruined by a wind and rebuking his tenant with a pussing for planting barley instead of the wheat, he told him to plant. While walking on the high wire over another field affected by a Malkus Medina that attended and planted all in, lamenting that if it had been planted, a miraculous bracha may have occurred, which reminds us, Shmuel said that a tenant may only deduct from his rent in the case of a Malkus Medina if he actually planted and it was destroyed. But if he did not plant at all, he may not, because the owner can argue that had he planted, the falling bracha would have been fulfilled. They will not be ashamed in time of calamity. In days of famine, they will be satisfied, meaning it may have miraculously succeeded despite the Malkus Medina. So the tightrope walker, looking down at his crop ruined by a wind and rebuking his tenant with a pussek for planting barley instead of the wheat he told him to plant, while walking on the highway over another field affected by a Malkus Medina that attended and planted all in, lamenting that if it had been planted, a miraculous bracha may have occurred, was dismayed when he saw at the end of the platform a tenant who leased land for 10 cores of wheat coming to pay with wheat from the damaged crop, which reminds us, the next mission states that if one leased land for a rent of 10 cores of wheat and the wheat crop was damaged, he may pay with his wheat since the land performed its role. Daf Kuf Zayin. So the Simon Daf Kuf Zayin is Couscous. So here goes. The Couscous restaurant owner, Couscous, that must more on Daf Kuf Zayin. The Couscous restaurant owner who posted a Baruch Atah Bu'echa, Baruch Atah Be'Seisecha sign on the door of his restaurant, which reminds us, the Talmud of Rav was asked how Rav interpreted the following psukim. Baruch Atah Ba'ir, you shall be blessed in the city. Baruch Atah Ba'sada, you shall be blessed in the field. Baruch Atah Bu'echa, you shall be blessed when you come in. Baruch Atah Be'Seisecha, and you shall be blessed when you go out. He explained that they mean respectively, number one, your home should be near a shul. Number two, your property should be near your home to ease the transport of crops. Number three, your wife should not be a possible nida when you return from a trip. And number four, your offspring should be like you. Rabbi Yochanan explained them differently. So the Couscous restaurant owner who posted a Baruch Atah Bu'echa, Baruch Atah Be'Seisecha sign on the door of his restaurant, which was right next to a cemetery full of people who had died due to Ayin Hara, which reminds us, Rav once went to a cemetery and determined the cause of the deaths of those buried there and declared 99 of 100 died from an evil eye and only one from natural causes. So the Couscous restaurant owner who posted a Baruch Atah Bu'echa, Baruch Atah Be'Seisecha sign on the door of his restaurant, which was right next to a cemetery full of people who had died due to Ayin Hara, was busy promoting his new couscous dish to accompany the 13 benefits of eating Pashachris, which reminds us the Gemara brings the 13 benefits of eating Pashachris. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which something when if one said, lease me Beis HaShlachin Zeh, this irrigated field, he may deduct from the rent if the stream dried up. That's on Daf Kuf Dal. Good number two. Which of the one that Rav said that 99 of 100 people who died in a cemetery had died due to Ayin Hara? That's on Duff. Kuv Zayin. Good number three. Which of the learned that when selling land, selling to a Talmud Chacham takes precedence over selling to a relative? That's on Duff. Kuv Ches. Good number four. Which Duff do you discuss what the halacha is when a tenant does not want to weed the field? That's on Duff. Kuf Hey. Good number five. Which Duff do you learn about the 13 benefits of Pas Shachris? That's on Duff. Kuv Zayin. Good number six. Which of them learn about the landowner's arguments based on psukim? For example, when the tenant planted barley when he was told to plant wheat. That's on Duff. Kuvav. Good number seven. Which Duff do Malkok is whether one who purchased a field can be removed because of the din of bar mitzvah? That's on Duff. Kuvchas. Good number eight. Which of them when the one leases a field from his friend, either as an aris or as a hocher, everything goes according to the minhag of Medina? That's on Duff. Kuf Gimel. Good number nine. Which of the one about the exceptions to the din of bar mitzvah, such as one who was given the land as a gift? That's on Duff. Kuf Ches. Good. Number 10. Which of the one about different pshatim in the pasuk of Baruch Atah B'Vo'echa U'Baruch Atah B'Seisecha? That's on Duff. Kuf Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.